This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
Hello, Karen. How are you, my friend?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. I'm recording from my sister's house. I'm in my niece's room. That's why there is a professional vanity, a series of lights. That's really, I get it. I kind of want one now.
Yeah, you see how beautiful you are now, especially with your hair. Long hair Chris is now kind of transforming into fancy hair Chris.
I just need the right lighting. I'm going to admit to you, when I saw this, and you know I don't say this about myself, but I kind of look handsome right now.
Yeah, say it about yourself.
I've always said
handsome boy summer.
I'm podcast handsome, but right now I kind of look TV CW handsome, like I could be
you
a
do.
Dad.
I, meanwhile, am kind of by my sister's guest room window with the sideways blinds. So I look like I could be on a CW fantasy show where I play a witch or a troll's mother.
But
because the lighting is not complimentary.
I disagree.
Hilarious joke.
It just looks like natural lighting.
You're saying this is what I look like? Because my whole thing is this is not what I look like.
You
to
look
myself.
Like a natural woman.
Did you miss me last week, Chris? Listener, if you don't know, I was out. I've been out for a while because I've been up at my family's house and I had a couple of family emergency things that were very dramatic. And in the middle of it, someone said, you still have to record Do You Need a Ride? It was supposed to be the great Naomi Ekperigin, who is actually very podcast related to our guest today.
Yes.
But then we had to, I was like, you please don't record that without me with her. So then Vince was good enough to basically come and take my place.
People wanted to, he's America's husband. I didn't know
that was
his moniker.
Yes, that's right. And he's just a good hang. And he has like three podcasts himself. So he knows how to podcast.
He knows how to talk. He knows how to talk and stop and listen to you talk. And then he knows it's his turn. He knows how to have a conversation. He was great at it. We had a great episode. But now
you know who else knows how to do that.
We know how to segue into guests. That's what we know how to do.
We're almost at the point where we can do it together, but
yeah, you know what? I'd be willing to do a little tag team introduction of this guest. If you say a thing about her, I'll say something about her. And maybe we both say a couple things.
Okay, you want to start it?
Today's guest. You know her from the I Love a Lifetime movie. It's I, right? Not we.
Yes.
I Love a Lifetime movie podcast with Naomi, who we just mentioned.
Yeah.
And what else do we know her from? Karen, it's your turn.
I like to say clubs and colleges all over the country.
Right, right.
She's
so
a
many
very
colleges.
Accomplished stand-up comedian.
If you're a fan of Bob and Tom, the radio, terrestrial radio program, it launched a lot of careers in the 90s, still around. She's from those stomping grounds.
She wrote the Thousand-Year-Old Man sketch with Mel Brooks back in 1958.
A young Shecky Bergman got a lot of his phone bits. You remember in the old days, she was the one who would grab a bamboo cane to get him off stage when he became more confused. Also, seriously, are you a regular contributor to
you
the
You can't
hysteria?
Ask questions until we say the name.
Right, you're
can't
right.
Do
I
it.
Do that. It's
cannot do
you're
it.
Right, you're right.
It goes against everything
That's
in show
a,
business.
That'll just be a talking point for later.
Right. Please welcome Megan Gailey, everybody.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. It was so hard to not say 1,000 things. Chris, please tell your sister hi. I love her. She's
yes.
so she's an amazing comedy fan. And I actually, growing up, my neighbor was Tom of Bob and Tom.
No.
You're kidding.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes. I'm still very close with his kids. My parents are still friends with him. I see him whenever I'm in Indianapolis.
And you have done that show. I always wanted. That was a big deal when I first
yeah.
started.
So I had never done it. Everyone in my family, my mom and dad had been on it as non-comedians. My mom
wow.
put the empathy belly, which is a giant pregnant belly.
I remember that.
She put the empathy belly on Reggie Miller and then got tricked into hosting a pregnant bikini contest.
Oh, that's great.
How'd she do? How'd she handle it?
You know, she did. She was like, she's a nurse. And so she was like, ladies, these ladies were smoking cigarettes and drinking. I'm like, yeah, mom, it's a pregnant bikini contest in Indiana. Like, that's not going to be the picture of health, I think. But she, I don't even know if she got to weigh in. Oh, she was there in case anyone went into labor. That's, she was not judging. She was like an EMT.
She was judging silently, but she was she was not serving as a judge.
She was not on the panel. She was just Catholic and off to the side.
Making small tisking sounds at all these women.
Yeah. And then my dad just gifted my husband an incredible Bob and Tom band jean jacket from the 90s that has G-E-O-F-F embroidered on it because that's my dad's name. And my husband is really excited about it. Very, very excited.
About the jacket?
About the jacket and getting to be Jeff Gailey. I think that's like a thrill for him.
Oh, I also forgot one cool. of the things. I made up those made up ones and I didn't do a real one. Your album is called My Dad Paid for This, right?
Oh, yeah.
I love that's such a good album title.
That's so good.
Yeah. Thank you. As dual someone meanings. Who's,
I've
dual
been
meanings.
Anguishing over what to call mine. And you win. You win the contest you didn't know you and I were having.
Thank you. I wanted to name it Fun Cunt, and they said that would be hard to promote.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? The sound that flows really nicely in terms of writing and like the way it hits the ear. It would have been very, very memorable.
Thank you. That's what I thought. Jimmy Fallon said, I'm not saying that, cunt.
he just said it to you personally.
Yeah.
Privately in the hallway beforehand. You know, it's funny, Megan. If I'm correct in knowing that your husband is CJ Toledano.
Yes.
I knew him. I lived in Chicago briefly, worked on a failed talk show there and began to communicate with him because he was going to be the next writer we hired.
Oh,
and it went on for months and months. It's all for the best because the whole thing was a real shit show. But I know him in the weirdest, almost like social media. Like,
yes. Email.
And then we. Yeah, email, and we follow each other on social media. So I've kind of always tracked him in this way because I have guilt feelings about, like, you know, you're in Chicago, you're trying to get your first writing job. I know the meaning of it.
He was too good at following up. I've heard horror stories that make me question marrying him. He'll be like, oh, I emailed so-and-so 25 times. And I'm like, CJ, now people know we have sex. That's so embarrassing. Like, everyone's like, oh, he just wore Megan down. that's a classic CJ story. I'm sure this happened to him 25 other times. You do not need to feel guilty at all, but I will relay the message to him. And okay. He'll be as excited about his Bob and Tom jean jacket as he is about this story.
Okay, great. I'm going to, then that's really nice because I can rest that guilt. I
absolutely.
Can lay that burden down.
Get it out of here.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, we are still renting and maybe we would own by now.
No, I assure you, you would not. And in fact, you might be homeless if he had in any way come into this situation.
Yeah, just to have him fire off a few more emails to that realtor.
I'm going to be like,
close the deal.
Karen needs you to do a packet. she needs it by 9 a.m. Eastern time, Monday morning. And she said, just anything topical, just anything off the top of your head.
Maybe mostly political stuff. That's what I like.
Oh, yeah. He loves that. What a fun time, too, to be doing that.
The best.
Get married? Is it new?
Oh, we got married 3 months before coronavirus. We got married in December of 2019. I do a joke about it now. CJ calls our wedding a buzzer beater. We really got it in. And we were in that nice window too, because there were old people, you know, my parents have friends. And we were like, oh my God, what if we hosted an unknown super spreader? But no one got sick after it. So I don't even think COVID came to our wedding as a guest at all.
Gotta write them into the guest list.
A true relief. And I'm so happy I got to spend all that money, you know?
Yeah.
Well spent. And then just sit at home and think about it. It was truly well spent. We feel like we threw like a going away party for the world with all of our friends.
Yeah.
So you did it in, where'd you get married?
We did it in Palm Springs.
Oh, cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like it there because it makes my joints feel good. Now I sound like an old man.
I thought you meant like weed joints.
They hit better there, you know?
They hit deep, the man.
Yeah.
It was not big. It was 130 people. And I'm from Indianapolis. CJ grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania. And we did not, no offense to those two places, not major wedding destinations. So we knew that we live out in LA. So we were like, we want to do it someplace that feels like a vacation for everybody that's coming from the rest of the country.
That's great.
Yeah, it was a really fun time. And it was like a destination wedding without needing like a passport. You know, everybody in LA drove an hour and a half and was there. But then everyone from the Midwest just thought they're like, Palm Springs is so magical. It does smell like a skunk everywhere. And we're like, yeah, that is weird.
It's just because there's beautiful, healthy skunks everywhere.
Yeah, gorgeous skunks.
Mm-hmm. They're so
cute. Capital of the gay retired world.
I do like that the buzzer beater of a wedding like that, because we often joke about the last thing I did before quarantine started was we had an exactly right party.
Yeah.
Just because we had just started. And so it was like, hey, everybody meet each other. And in normal life, it would have just been another like funny Thursday drinks meeting with a bunch of comics that you know.
Uh-huh.
But 6 months into quarantine, it was I just would think back on it like it was the most magical evening at the Tiki Tea or whatever, the tiki room or whatever,
the Truman Capote black and white ball in your memory. Like, God, a gorgeous night. The highballs were flowing. Yeah. And it's like, we were in Burbank, you know, it was fine.
Yeah.
So your
wedding got that treatment. I think that's, you got like more bang for your buck than the average.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You can't pay for that grim contrast afterwards.
We were very lucky. We had been contacted by a periodical that wanted to cover the wedding, and then they went dark during COVID. And I was like, COVID ruined my chance to have a wedding written up. And then they circled back like 7 months later and they were like, sorry, we do still want to cover it. The death was really deafening though. We did take a break from covering weddings, but we're back now and we'd love to start recovering weddings with yours. And I was like, all right, all's well, all's well.
Was it the Indianapolis Star Tribune?
I wish it was. The Indianapolis Star So CJ and I got engaged in front of a mural of Reggie Miller. If you know, he's the most famous Indiana Pacer of all time. And so the mural hadn't even had the ribbon cutting ceremony yet. Like, it was brand new. And so when we posted the photos, Reggie commented on it and was like, I bless this union. And it was a very, very slow news day in Indianapolis. And so the Star did cover our engagement, but they used a tweet of mine that was just a picture of me with an engagement ring on. And I said, I guess you can make a hoe a housewife. And they printed that. They printed that in my hometown newspaper.
Oh, my God.
A picture of my tweet.
They couldn't have shopped around for better tweets.
I don't know if they did it, like, no, if it was the only photo they could find of my ring. But I'm like, oh, my God.
That's
and everyone in Indy knew I was a hoe already, but for it to be, you know, printed in the great white lady, you know, it's like, that's embarrassing.
The people knew in Broad Ripple. Am I right? Is that a...
That's, you nailed
see,
it.
I know stuff. I know
nice.
Stuff. That news
nice
spread one. To Broad Especi- Ripple.
I'll say especially in Broad Ripple, they knew, if you know what I mean, okay?
Yeah. It's called the ripple effect. News travels fast.
What a great example of how Twitter does not translate to real life in any way. Like, what happens on Twitter should stay there entirely, yeah, because you're just doing most of the time a whole different thing there.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
for a whole different reason.
And you're like, it is printed on the internet for everyone to see forever. But I don't imagine, again, my parents' friends, you know, being like,
yes,
oh, Megan is a hoe. Okay,
yes,
love her.
I
love
get
that.
It. She means it sarcastically, honey.
That's a modern joke. That's she's meaning.
Modern.
She's a stand-up comedian.
She's a modern
skit.
Comedian, and modern women joke around with the hoe phrase.
Listen, they're Peggy and Jeff, they say they're proud of her. I don't know. If it was my daughter, I'd be terrified, mortified, embarrassed. But they love her, you know.
What a way to kick off a relationship. Yeah. So good. That's so funny. Well, I was listening to a couple because I love Naomi and have known her for a while. She is such a hilarious person. And when you guys first were getting I Love a Lifetime movie out and around, she emailed me, but we were in like a standstill at exactly mm-hmm. right. And mm-hmm. we were like, we can't do it. And then you guys launched and it's so heartbreaking. It's such a funny podcast and it's such a good idea. Like, breaking down Lifetime movies is a great way to spend some time.
How do you get, do you have the rights to use, because you play audio clips from the shows. Like, how did you get the right to do that?
Daddy Lifetime. We are like
Lifetime.
Daddy Lifetime said, okay, we are sanctioned by Lifetime. Like, we're produced by A&E Networks.
Smart. And, like, oh, that's so
smart.
Great.
And so everything, our contract is through them. And because of that, like, the really, really positive thing is we get access to all of the talent and writers.
Brilliant.
I'll tell you off, we interviewed A list baby yesterday.
Oh, that's
great. But then we get to play
Tori
audio.
Spelling?
I wish. We did cover the Mother May I Sleep With Danger reboot that is about lesbian vampires.
Oh, that's
that's I couldn't make up that genre if this was a Mad Libs. That is what is about. And Tori Spelling is in it, and James Franco wrote it.
Oh, shit.
There's a lot of wild stuff going on at A&E, for sure.
Yeah, they know. I think they know their stuff. It's very smart of them to get you guys under their shingle because it's pure promotion.
Oh,
I mean, there's some hip people there because you guys are basically just like repeating their, you know, their brand name over and over. They should be like sanctioning everything for you and
that's
helping
so cool.
you entirely.
I heard you say this is the official Lifetime podcast, and I thought you were kidding. That's so great. That
I'm a brand.
Brilliant.
I'll do anything for a brand.
Me
Kraft,
too.
Sign me up. I worked for the NFL. You know, like, there's no low that I will not go.
Oh, yeah. You like have written for the ESPYs and stuff. Are you, do you just know about all sports or are you specific?
I'm a sporty spice for sure.
You are. I was going to say that.
And I, some of it is probably Indiana based. Like I just growing up there, it's so basketball and so sporty. And I have two older brothers. My dad was a college athlete, two-sport college athlete. I think this is like the 70s when they were like, oh, whatever. Like, it was just like, if you were white and over 6 foot, they're like, all right, I guess he plays football and basketball.
He smokes less than the other kids.
Yes. He's like, I only played freshman year. But like, yeah, my grandfather, who was like 5'6", had a basketball scholarship. And I'm like, oh my God, pre-World War II. What a time. And so, yeah, I just grew up loving sports, and then I wanted to be a sports, like a sideline girl. That's really what I wanted to do. And
job.
Then you obviously can't talk shit to the extent that I wanted to. And that's how I sort of wound up doing stand up instead.
You had more to say than just recapping.
Yeah. And yeah. I had good hair, but I mean, you see some of these hotties and you're like, whoa. Like when I was an intern at one of the NBC, I was an intern at NBC in Chicago. And like, I had gone to some team things, but then there was another female intern and she was like, I guess way hotter than me. And she went to a team thing and then the team called and said, she can't come back. She was too hot. She was too hot. The athletes were like, bah! And they could not get them to practice. That they were like, and then they knew that they couldn't say that. So then they called back and they were like, oh no, we meant you can't send any interns. But they really just meant like the smoking hot one couldn't go anymore.
Oh, it threw off their game somehow?
Yes. Well, no, it was just practice. It was practice. But I got grabbed. A Hall of Famer barked in my face. I've gotten neck massages that were not asked for by some, by some people in Canton. Okay.
Just some old white dudes. Yikes.
Wow. Wait, sorry. Is barking in your face, is that flirting?
Don't know. I've had two people bark in my face. One has since passed. DMX barked in my face once.
He has no choice. That's just his
voice. But like, I didn't take it. But the other man who barked in my face, I think it was like an intimidation thing.
Oh.
Someone said it. Someone was like, oh, he thinks you're a dog. And I'm like, oh, I'm not taking that one on. I'm taking on, he was too attracted to me. He had to get me away from him.
Wait, we're talking about literal like bark, bark, row, row. Or just yelling in your face. DMX
kind of growling? Like that in my face.
Because DMX did actually bark. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But I had a famous baseball player bark in my face too.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of dicks.
On the sidelines?
In the locker room.
Oh, yeah. You got to go in the locker room for the dicks.
And sometimes they'll have clothes on and then they'll get naked just to, you know, spice it up for you.
Yeah, sure. Like that scene in Top Gun.
Yeah.
Wait, were these elements of the job part of the reason that you were like, maybe this isn't what I thought this isn't what I want to do?
I'm embarrassed to admit these were the best parts of the job. These were my favorite parts. When I went to the NFL, I was like, why hasn't anyone tried to have sex with me? I'm very upset. No, I really just wanted to be able to talk and say whatever I wanted. And and you get to a point, I think they let some women do that, but it's not out of the gates. And I was like, I don't want to move to South Dakota. No offense to South Dakota listeners, and like have to set up my camera and be following like a minor league baseball team. It just, even though as I'm explaining how dire this sounds, it's like, then I went and did open mic comedy. There's nothing lower than that. So
for
it's
free.
Just my obsession and passion and mental illness was just in a different direction.
Yeah. But more of a self-serving direction.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Nothing replaces stand-up. If you want to do stand-up, nothing is going to be as fun.
Yeah.
In my opinion. When I used to interview skateboarders and snowboard, it was like Fuel TV. And
I remember Fuel.
Yeah. And I would get sent to events and I had to produce my own segments and bring a camera guy that I liked. And I always wanted to be funny, but sometimes I'd get in trouble for asking funny questions, or they think I was a weirdo. And I'm like, maybe I should just do stand up. And then I finally felt comfortable all the time.
You know? I mean, if they're centering you in the skateboarding world, like, what has happened?
Yeah,
like,
skateboarders were cool. They're all weird and different from each other.
Oh, you mean the Fuel TV execs?
Yeah, well, and that you start talking to motocross guys, and it's like, wow, that a lot of these guys are racist. Like, there's different sports that we covered, and
exactly.
I would respond to that and get in arguments on camera because I couldn't set my own personality aside, and I think that you have to be able to do that when you're...
And I got to see the raw footage of all these interviews because my ex was one of the cameramen that Chris would take with him. And so he'd be like, hey, come and look at this cut. And literally he would try to leave in the parts where Chris would like put down the mic and walk away or whatever. Like he liked leaving in those personality parts. And that's, I kind of knew Chris before I met him because I watched all the raw footage of these interviews.
Where is the footage now?
I know.
We got to get this on Patreon, okay?
I know. I wish I had all of it.
This is an untapped market.
I wish I had it. They took every, when Fuel ceased to be a network, they took everything off YouTube, and I tried to get hard copies from the editing. I got some stuff, but yeah, all of my angry fits where I threw down the microphone, I didn't get any of those. But that is how, like, Karen and I met through.
Yeah, because those red carpet, there were like red carpet BMX events where only at one point I had to watch so much Fuel TV that I stood up one day and turned to him and I was just like, it was a show about a skateboarder who was being sent to like Japan and Paris and Perth, Australia or whatever. And he's on this tour and he's bitching and he's doing drugs and all this shit. And I stood up and I was like, these fucking spoiled rich boy, white boys that are just like, they're being given the world and they don't give a shit and I can't watch this anymore.
Yeah.
And this is like the ultimate, like, let's celebrate these white brats who have the time to skateboard and get good at it and their parents' money. I fucking lost my mind. What's your favorite Lifetime movie that you guys have watched and broken down so far? If you could pick one.
So we just took a break from our regular thrill and suspense and husbands like hypnotizing their wives to kill themselves. And we did a Christmas movie and it was called The Christmas Setup. And it came out in 2020 and it was the first Lifetime rom-com with two gay love interests in it. And it was nominated for a GLAAD award. Fran Drescher was in it. And it was, the movie was, so the leads in it are actually married in real life too.
Oh,
and
nice.
So like knowing that and seeing Fran in Milwaukee, like it was just, they're doing a series right now where they're playing the Christmas movies in like gearing up for them to be in July. And I had never sat down and been like, I'm going to watch a Christmas movie off calendar.
Yeah.
And it was so soothing. Truly, I felt like a baby sucking on my hand. I just was like, this is where I want to be. And I didn't feel inundated and like annoyed with the Christmas tropes because that's not what I've been watching.
Yeah.
And so you're just like, oh my God, that tree is so beautiful. Oh my God, have yourself a merry little Christmas. Like everything was hitting me in such a magical way. I was also on my period when I watched it. Now that I think you have to be.
Absolutely.
No, I turned it on and then my period was like, well, we're coming.
Here we go.
I guess.
Yes.
Happy holidays.
We've definitely seen, we've gotten to the point now where we're like re-seeing actresses and we saw them be like a good girl and then we saw them be like a bad girl. And so that's fun to like watch the trajectory of these Lifetime leading ladies. And yeah, it's just Naomi, whenever we get asked, I'm like, my favorite thing about it is just like getting to hang out with Naomi all the time.
Yeah.
Because when we're watching the movies, we're texting. We just have like a lot of fun with each other that I'm like, if I was doing this by myself or even with someone else, I don't know if I would love it as much, but we are truly bonded and our dream is to write an interracial Lifetime movie.
Yes.
I bet that'll happen. You have all the connections now.
Yeah.
And also your when you're talking about the movies, like it actually is a really great discussion, because I watch those movies with my, when anytime I'm at my sister's house at during the holidays, she just puts it on kind of to be funny. Like if she has to go take a shower, she'll be like, here, watch this. And it's almost like we're pretending you have to watch this because it's the holidays, whatever holiday it is. But then you absolutely slip into, it's like, look at that cabin. It's a 30-foot tree. He looks like a living mannequin. She looks like every girl you went to high school with.
Yes.
It's so, it is very much like going back into the womb. And the ones that I was listening to weren't the Christmas ones, but were the suspense crazy. It was the crazy poisoning one, whatever.
Oh, where a friend roofied her friends and then was trying to traffic them for organs in high school. I'm like, what an entrepreneurial spirit. First of all, I can't imagine one of my friends harvesting my, you think of that as outside the house, you know, not inside your circle. Brittany. Yeah, we were hard on Brittany. And the actress that played Brittany actually reached out today and was like, thank you so much. I loved you guys talking about it. Like that's, we talked to a lot of the writers. And so we do want to be like respectful, because they're insane, but it's insane in like a way that feels good.
Is that from this lat? The party goes dark or
party gone wrong?
Party gone wrong. Party goes dark. I remember Brittany from that. So are these, because I don't have Lifetime. I think you need to have extended cable. It seems like the storylines are willing to go places, kind of like a soap opera where it's like, oh yeah, what if an evil twin is taking
organs?
It feels
to me like it's gotten, Lifetime has become sentient about itself. So it's kind of like people were secretly watching this and kind of embarrassed and laughing. But now we know that's what you're doing. Let's actually lean into it, because at the end of the day, and this is the thing I think about lots of stuff like that, they're accomplishing a thing that a lot of people cannot. A lot of network television cannot make people stay and watch the entire thing and make them feel good and make them want to come back for more. They're getting the job of entertainment done, and that does deserve respect.
Yeah.
And people have been with them for decades, but then also there's young viewers. There's so many men, like male comedians. That's what I call them. They'll be like, Megan, you got to have me on the podcast. I'm obsessed with Lifetime movies. And I'm like, this is my like friend, Will Miles from Chicago. Like there's like black Lifetime movies that have all black romantic leads, and there's rom-coms. Like there's just so many different genres within their umbrella, and people really do go wild for them.
Yeah.
What was it called before Lifetime? Like Mother, that's my favorite title for a movie ever. Mother, May I Sleep with Danger?
Yes.
I just love it.
Proper. She did say Mother, Can I? And her mom was like, go back, say it the right way.
that was pre-Lifetime. Like, what were those movies called back? What was that movie?
I think that was Lifetime.
It was early Lifetime. It was like before it was hip, you know, before people, like you'd watch it with your mom and then you wouldn't tell anybody because you thought that wasn't cool. That was like 90s pressure to be cool thing.
And like the Texas Cheerleader, they were doing a lot of kind of like really, really scandalous rip from the headlines. Like I'm sure there was a Joey Buttafuoco back there.
Yes, there was.
Mm-hmm. And so I had friends watching them in middle school and high school.
Yeah.
Like,
well, true crime. I mean, sorry, but that's that thing where it's like it's one thing when it's like, oh, it's the Christmas Cabin show, when you know it really happened. And now there's your favorite actor from Melrose Place that's now playing the evil, army captain or whatever. Why wouldn't you be there? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are they more often than not based on true stories?
You know, it's kind of funny. We did a Meghan and Harry one. They do a lot of biopics.
Yeah.
We did a Murder to Remember that was loosely based on the first Stockholm Syndrome
case. That's such a good title.
Well, and then there was a, we covered a movie that was called How I Met My Murderer or How I Met Your Murderer, I think. And it was about a podcast host, like a true crime podcast host who was married to a guy that then became a suspect in a bunch of cold cases.
Oh, perfect.
And it was super meta, and it name checked Michelle McNamara. It name checked you ladies. Like, it was really
I think they owe Karen money. Yeah, it's getting closer.
I think so too. Yeah. I think so too. And then like when we were covering it, it was so funny. I intro'd us that week and Naomi was like, I can tell you've changed your voice based on listening to that. Like, I was trying to do that really like, welcome back to I Love a Lifetime movie. I've seen this woman and I was like, I like what she's doing.
She's your inspiration, your podcast inspiration.
She ends up being really, really bad at solving the case. And so you're like, this is going to affect her ratings. You know, nobody wants to listen to a podcast host that's like, I can solve the case. That's like having sex with a man that's maybe a murderer.
Yeah, you can't. You can't trust that. That's a, what do they call that? A faulty narrator.
Uh-huh. And her sign off was au revoir.
Oh, no.
She's not a French woman. Not French. Not in France. That wasn't saying it properly. Oh, it was the best.
That's
that
how
was
you
a
know
great
she's
one.
She's rich.
Yeah.
If she signs off with au revoir.
Are you
amazing.
A regular? Is Hysteria a podcast that you're regularly on or are you, mm-hmm. you're not?
Yeah. No, I end up being on it like one or two times a month. And
What's that?
It is a... all women's podcast that's at Crooked. So that was started by the like former Obama crew.
Yeah.
And so we end up, you know, covering a lot of the news that's happening and how it affects women and women's bodies.
That's one my sister is a big fan of and a fan of you. And so I thought maybe you're on it pretty frequently if that's how she knows you.
Yeah, it's where I go to complain. But it's like a, you know, my parents love it. Oh, my CJ's walking by my window. He's outside. What? I'm on the podcast. Now we've both rejected him, Karen. We both said, no, door's closed.
Yeah. Oh, no, sorry.
Oh, now he's going to the back.
Tell him he can submit again in 6 months.
Yeah, my sister, she's coming home from work, I think, but she wanted to, I was going to have her ask you a question or two since she's a fan of you.
I love your sister.
She's
Wait,
great.
So does she go to comedy shows a lot or?
Yeah,
or can
she
I,
just okay. texts me and says who this is, who's in town, yay or nay. And I'm usually like, yeah, they're even if it's awesome. Not my kind of comedy. I'm like, that is a 100% professional comedian. And
yes.
You very much should go see. So and so, I'm not gonna.
Does
drop
she ever
name.
See people and then she's like, Chris, they're
yeah.
not. Yeah.
Oh,
they're.
I think
good, honey.
Her and my dad. I'm lucky in that my whole family is like just appreciates anyone that does it, even if they aren't mm-hmm. doing it well. They just mm-hmm. respect that they're willing to. Whereas I'm like, no, no, you don't have to like that person. I try and talk them out. I liked them. No, you shouldn't. I'm the one.
And usually if a family's like that, it's because like their family member's bad and they're like, it is hard. We've seen him struggle, but it's like, you're good. They should be like, oh, no, you got to be as good as Chris.
I very much struggled, especially with confidence when I first started. And so they've seen me overcome that. So actually, they knew I was funny, but stand-ups, yeah. Feigning this confidence. It took me mm-hmm. years to figure that out.
I love my mom's analysis after she goes to see people. She'll call me and be like, oh, his parents' divorce really affected him.
it causes him to do so many act outs.
Yeah, she's like, I think you need to check in on so-and-so. They were here and they did not look good, Megan.
Like, it's someone you don't know at all. And
yeah.
Like we all hang out at a clubhouse. Well, I guess that's what Comedy Store is, but I don't go there.
When I first started in San Francisco, my dad came and they pretended, because he's a San Francisco fireman. So they came down and pretended they were inspecting the old San Francisco Improv.
Oh, my God.
They were like fire inspection and 8 of them came down. They parked on Mason and just like left the truck there and then came down to watch my set. And they ended up watching because it was like a showcase night. It was a Monday night. And so they just stood in the back and watched. And at the end of like the next time I talked to my dad, I was like, well, what'd you think? And he was like, that Ron Lynch was my favorite. Where I'm like, really? Even though your daughter was like, okay, cool. Thank you.
Well, Ron
Lynch.
How
about the other guys? There were seven other men there. So
are you just a fan of all the men?
That would scare me if my dad and his fireman buddies, because my dad has fireman buddies, if they all came in and sat in the audience, I would be petrified. Nothing scary.
How about standing against the back wall? Even scarier.
Arms crossed. Oh, God.
Yeah, not cool.
We all want firemen to like us.
Yes, I have a joke about wanting to have sex with a fireman right now, and I'm very married.
A lot of pressure.
But I actually did once work with a woman at a for a judge at a small claims court who then I think was federally prosecuted for making fake documents for people.
Yes.
And there was a woman who worked there who I loved, and unprompted, one day she looked at me. I was a senior in high school, so I was like 17, 18. She looked at me and goes, don't ever marry a cop or a fireman. They've got a God complex. And then we never spoke of it again. And I'm like, did she get a divorce last night? Like, and so I think she was married to one of those and something went south.
Yeah, clearly. But, that's just such good advice. Like,
it rings
it'll
true.
Always stick
it
in
does
your mind.
Ring, you know, tough hours. I have a lot of friends. And Karen, I'm guessing you're Irish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so, it's just an Irish fireman. It's just so cool to me.
It's pretty cool, but it...
Well, you don't have to marry him.
No,
just the old classic fireman hookup.
Well, but we've seen a lot of like after the fireman luncheon where they all come home and they're all shit faced and they think they're really funny. Like the America's Heroes side of firemen is really appealing and hot. But then what, you know, when you get them like the full real life part, it's not as appealing. Yeah. And also, God, the mustaches, the mustaches. I mean, maybe not as much anymore, but like in the 80s, I have some pictures that are the most hilarious where every single man in the room has a big, mustache, whatever those are
just
called.
Just a classic four-inch domestic, I think. Yeah.
Thick. Yeah. Wow.
Tom's a Finland mustache.
Yeah. I'm in a house right now with two firemen upstairs. My brother-in-law and my nephew is, he's not 100%. I think he's still training. It's hard to become a fireman. It's a lot of hoops you have to go through. Hoops.
They're the least problematic of the civil servants at this time, right?
Of course. And that's,
you know?
Yeah. And they don't have a complex. If someone asks what either of them do for a living, they just say, I work for the city. You got to be humble.
They're humble.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they like to party.
But there's mustaches there's a throwback mustache in every house. Even my skateboarder friend that's an LA fireman, he's got a push broom above his lip.
It's really great. Just thinking about the heat and the fire, I would not want hair on my face. I wonder what it is.
And the elephant in the room is, and Karen knows this, and I've tried not to get offended. I had a mustache for a number of years, and I thought it looked great. But once I shaved it off, because I thought it would capture COVID germs, I realized how gross in general it is. We're talking mayonnaise. Food, anytime you eat, it's just in there. And then you don't necessarily get in and massage shampoo into your mustache. The more I think about it, it was gross. It's hair above your mouth.
You looked good with a mustache, though.
You
could have played a great fireman.
I don't think
you could be one. You know, I don't want to go that far.
No, but I would. Even at a stoplight, and I've said this before, but cops would, if they look over, like trying to see like if I'm a good guy or not, they straight up nod at me like I'm one of them.
Wow.
Like when I had that. And now I'm just a punk with hippie hair. So,
They nod at me too. And I've been giving them the cold shoulder and they're like, God, we lost even the Megans. Like, that was our bread and butter. And I'm like, look at me right now. I'm mad at you.
I thought you were saying that like you haven't waxed your mustache in a while.
No. I buzz mine. I use the same. This is probably too much, but I know that we're getting, I use the same like buzzer on my like bikini line as I do on my mustache.
Like the little one you get at CVS?
Exactly. The little one. So,
mine's called a manscaper.
When it needs a new battery, I'm like, can't find it. I'll get a new one. Like, I'm just like, trash. It's out of here. But my husband, when I first shave it, CJ will be like, ooh, prickly.
Yeah.
I have a 5 o'clock shadow.
It's so great. I use mine on my face too. It's funny that that was a gift from my dad. Hey, son, I got you something specifically for your pubes. All right.
No,
okay.
That but was it from works your great. Dad?
You can use it in the shower. You can get it wet. It's great.
Oh, no, it's truly amazing.
Yeah, of course I use it on my face.
Right before my wedding, I had like a Sweeney Todd, like they call it micro something, but they shave like forehead down to below your chin, and it's supposed to make like makeup sit better on your face, but you have nothing.
Microneedling?
Microneedling. Yes.
That would make me, is it a rumor then that if you do that, it makes hair grow back? Like you're not supposed to shave, for the first time shaving your forehead and then all of a sudden the follicles come back stronger. Is that a rumor?
I have not experienced that. Yeah. But like my forehead wasn't a problem area and it's not still. So I don't think that's true. I don't either. That was something that we were told as like young girls about maybe like shaving our stomachs or something or shaving our arm. Like, cause you do go through a period. In seventh grade, I shaved my arms and someone was like, did you shave your arms? I'm like, no.
Now it's going to grow black.
But it's like, clearly I did. I was traumatized that I had hairy arms and I wanted to die. But it hasn't. I honestly feel like my arm hair has thinned. God, now I'm feeling great.
It's a real accomplishment. Well, also I think the, that idea is, because I was absolutely told that, Chris, like that is either a mom thing that they tell you. Yeah. And I think it's because they're trying to keep you from shaving things that then will come in dark.
Right.
Like if you just leave it alone, it'll maybe still like get sun bleached or whatever. But after a while, you know, for me, like having light skin and dark, thick hair, it's a fucking nightmare. And you might as well just start shaving everything because that's the world you're going to be living in.
Yeah.
And eventually you just have to get laser, whatever, if you want it to change.
I don't know. Yeah. And it started out as a TV segment, and then I was addicted for a while, but I was getting waxed for regularly, and we don't have to talk about that, but it did grow back with a vengeance.
Where were you getting waxed?
Oh, there's a place called Sugar Wax near Largo. It's on La Cienega, and they do men, and I felt comfortable, and they give you a little vodka because it's actually pretty painful. I was just
We know. We fucking know. Yeah.
Especially
we've had labia. We've had wax on our labias.
We've been hurt the worst by wax. Yes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can get it anywhere between the cheeks, which is phrase they use. That's the clinical phrase. Up front, yanking it out. I've been there, ladies. And I remember it coming. I thought it would come back over time. It would just grow wispy like a Trump comb over. Like, I didn't know. I thought it would have an effect. But no, it came back angry and more wiry.
Yeah.
And now it's real disgusting down there.
You can't get rid of me. This is your butthole hair. That's my impression of your butthole hair.
Good luck. Now I'm like barbed wire.
Stay.
Try to ride a bike. Try to ride a bike.
Your mayonnaise mustache.
I also think because when it's bare, it's bare and then you're like, ooh, I'm bare and this is how I am now.
Yeah.
So then when it grows back in, it's not just as it was before, it's growing in from bareness. So it's worse. Yeah. It's itchier. It seems, you know, it seems so much more dramatic because you had the luxury of being like a hairless person for me, I would say 8 days max. And then we're right back to one.
When you're fair, we have like the same Irish. When you come in with this, the girls at European Wax Center are like, oh, you get quite red.
They're
like astounded. They're like, are you okay? I'm like, oh yeah. This just, you've burned me and ripped hair out. And my potato famine skin is upset now. Yeah, for sure.
This is the only way we can actually express real emotion, which is through our skin.
They have like a product line that's just like, are you Irish? You should buy this because you are, because like, I'll be red. I'll be, oof. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I just thank the Lord I'm very religious. Thank every day that I don't, because occasionally me and my other adult friends will all be together with our shirts off, you know, swimming or whatever. Most of them have back hair, and I've gotten lucky. That is something. If I had it, I would regularly be getting my back waxed, because they have shavers that are like on an extender, and then you don't even know what you're doing. It's just a razor at the end of a stick. That's a weapon, not a. So I'm so glad. I'm bragging now. I have no back hair. You too.
CJ has no. He's Filipino, and has like the softest, smooth. His skin is so much softer than mine. I have friends that just are like, I'm just gonna rub CJ's arm for 30 minutes. Like, it's just so no hair. It's really quite upsetting. I don't ever have to shave his back.
I always hear that when I shake another man's hand or anyone's hand, they always say, "Ooh, you have soft hands," which isn't really what you want to hear. I've built fences. Tools.
They just shouldn't say that. Just like lock it in their head. But
they are so soft and nice to touch, I guess, that they can't help it, because I see them hesitate for a second. Then they're like, "Soft hands. You have soft hands." Oh, thanks. Thanks.
Well, guys, I have to go to my niece's graduation.
Oh, yeah. So I'm sorry.
High school?
Eighth grade.
Wow. I don't know.
There's a ceremony.
Wow.
She made it through
the worst of it. She made it through the worst.
For me, when she went into seventh grade, I was just like, oh God, she's going to, and she is. Luckily, she's half Irish, half Mexican. She has the most gorgeous skin. My sister and I yell at her all the time, like, you have no idea how lucky you are. But anyway, and she's very chill and the coolest. But so I'd hate to cut you off, because this has been the best conversation, and especially because I've never met you before.
Huge admirer. And Lisa and Kara are two of my best friends. Lisa was one of my bridesmaids. Kara was my officiant.
Oh, wow.
And so I feel, and I do think of I Love a Lifetime movie as a sister to That's Messed Up
entirely
podcast, you know. We're all traveling in the same bizarre world.
It's true. Do you have any plugs that you would like to
are you going back out?
I am going back out. I'm not doing anything on the road. I'm doing something. It's like the town next to Aspen. So if you live in Aspen, I'll be there in August. But then I wrote for a new HBO show that's called Pause with Sam J. And it is on Fridays at 9 p.m. on HBO. And we're just really proud of it. And then the podcast.
Love Sam J.
That's great.
Yeah,
good for you.
So
yeah,
funny.
I saw that. I'll watch that. It was on my dad's HBO queue. I'll watch it.
And it's Pause, Pause with Sam J.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen some promos and I think she's the coolest, but it looks like it's really doing something.
Yeah.
Like, it was very exciting to see.
People are like, "You wrote for it, Megan?" I'm like, Yes, I did. I told you, I'm ignoring the police now. I'm allowed to write for a lot of different kinds of things.
You're a modern lady.
I am a modern lady. With a clean butthole. Wow.
Yeah, that's right. We owe that. How did you know our sign-off? We say that every episode.
Au revoir to my hair and my butthole.
Our two clean buttholes to yours. Have a good night, everyone. Thanks for being on, Megan. You're great.
Yes.
And good
Thank
job
you.
With
Thank you so much.
Career stuff.
Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? D-Y-N. A-R.
A-R.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we wanna be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim, give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
Do you need a ride?
Bye.
With Karen and Chris.